All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. Talk about a plot twist. Southern novelist Flannery O'Connor once explained the grotesquery of her characters and plot twists by saying that the subject of her fiction was the action of grace in territory held largely by the devil. She felt her characters and plots needed to be distorted to the point of the surreal to produce in her readers a shock of recognition, something she called an action that is totally unexpected, yet totally believable. Often it was an act of violence, like the murder of the cantankerous and haughty grandmother in A Good Man is Hard to Find, or the self-blinding of Hazel Motes in Wise Blood. Violence, Flannery O'Connor said, is the extreme situation that best reveals what we are, essentially. What in the world has Jesus done in the space of a few biblical quotes from prophetic sentences already hundreds and hundreds of years old by the time he used them in this synagogue homily, where all humane sensibility has seemingly fractured in a moment? I mean, this is day and night, light and darkness, amazement and rage, life and death in the intervening space of 133 words. An absolute bipolar plot twist. I have pondered this gospel pericope over and over and over, and I keep scratching my head and wondering, am I missing something here? Apparently, but what? Father Pavel Florensky said, everything is beautiful in a person when he turns toward God, and everything is ugly when he is turned away from God. Jesus came speaking and embodying a word of grace. Grace, God's unearned, unmerited love and favor which he bestows upon the undeserving. It enables sinful humankind to experience forgiveness and salvation, right down to the lowly, the lost, the poor, the marginalized, the outcast, the despised foreigner, the interloping immigrant, Gentile dogs, even that Sidonite woman and that diseased Syrian. Grace. Grace and more grace. And they just couldn't take it anymore. No. Not when it began to bleed out of their little tribe and construct and paradigm. No, not when it began to leak from the righteous few and inflow into territory largely held by the devil. And this shock of recognition that God was acting graciously toward the despised, the unclean, the enemy even. Why, it was just too much. God doing something totally unexpected, yet totally believable? The synagogue goers thought they had God to themselves, as they had for thousands of years. They, the chosen race. They of the royal priesthood. They of the patriarchs, prophets, and kings. They of the covenant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They of Moses and the law. Yet there it is. Right in their very own scriptures, God dealing graciously with the outsider who managed to scrap together just enough faith in God's transforming love so as to shame the ones who thought they had him in their hip pocket. Isn't that just like the Jesus we know? Jesus who distorted God to the point of the surreal. God receiving the thorns and the whip and the insults and the spit. God stumbling through the Via Dolorosa. God going outside the walls. God walking up Calvary's cadaverous hill of thieves and murderers and seditionists and all the sinful filth and rabble whose just deserts are a cross. I see myself on that cross on the left, and that one there on the right. I am the bandit. I am the criminal. I am the breaker of God's law. I am the self-righteous synagogue goer. I am the mocking crowd. I am the one whose acts are being duly meted out on the hardwood. But look, there he is, the one who is gracious in word and deed, the one who brings his cross and interposes it between heaven and hell, where he, in this violence, totally unexpected, yet totally believable, showing us to be what we essentially are, becomes the action of grace and territory held largely by the devil. This good man, hard to find, whose wise blood is poured out from the chalice of his broken body, and we beheld him, full of grace and truth, him upon Golgotha's throne, grace upon grace, where while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was an earthquake when Christ died, one greater even than the one recently. When God, all distorted to the point of the surreal, died, where even the rocks acknowledged that the sinless man had reordered our brokenness. And when the body of Christ is fractured at Eucharist, the sound is greater than any natural earthquake, for it is the world coming back to its senses. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side that flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power.